All right, so the topic for tonight is chinuch l'mitzvah sukkah, okay? Doing chinuch by the mitzvah of sukkah. And I'll start off with some basic concepts, basic questions that are asked, and some answers in sukkah, and then I'll try to tie everything together in a rather exciting fashion. Okay, so you'll tell me if it makes any sense. If it's true or not, feel free to ask any questions. Let's do it. You ready? So, let's start off with the Gemara, right? The Gemara on base and base in Masechet Sukkah tells us the following, right? We've outlined at this point three different opinions as to why the Sukkah with Tzach over 20 amos tall is possible, right? And then the Gemara went and aligned or tried to align three different Mesoras in the name of Rav about, like, the limitations of this actual Sewell or not. And then afterwards, now, the Gemara tries to ask a question on some of these opinions, right? It's asking on Rav Zera and Rav Huna, who has aligned with him, and also Rav Chana bar Rabba. And the Gemara says the following. Meisven. Sukkah shein gevol amal meisven. Amma psula. Rav Yehuda machshir ad arba b'chamishim am. Great. Amma Rav Yehuda. Meisven behilani amalka b'lud shayesh sukkasa gevol amal meisven amma v'hal yuzikainim nechlasim yodzin l'sham v'lo amru l'adabar. Right, they didn't say anything to her. They just were going, this massive sukkah. Clearly see it's kasher. Amru l'am. They said back to Yisham Rai. And there's a proof. Yisha is up to her in a sukkah. She's a woman. She's spotted from sukkah. That's why they didn't bother to say anything. Amru l'am. He responded back. Hello, Shiva, bottom, how you love? Didn't she have seven sons? But oh, komasa lo asta el apicham. And also, moreover, didn't she always act in accordance with chum? So the Gemara turns for a second to parenthetically address what's going on in this response of Yehuda. Lamali lemisni, but oh, komasa lo asta el apicham. Why was adding with that comment? So now the Gemara explains what Rabbi Judah's title was. Hachi Gemara, we heard what he said to them. Kitom rubanim ketanim, how you ketanim threw in a second. You say, wait 1 second. These kids were only ketanim, and ketanim are pacha from sukkah. So, if that's true, then clearly there was at least one of them, if there were seven kids, that had already reached the age of chinuch by sukkah, as the Mishnah tells us later on, and the Gemara explains, that at the age when a kid no longer needs his mother, that's when he's chayev in chinuch for the mitzvah of sukkah. And therefore, she had seven kids, automatically one of them, I mean, exactly how old this age is, there's a whole focus on whether these are set ages when we ever talk about mitzvahs for chinuch, or whether they're each mitzvah for its own thing. It's not like age 5 or age 9. It's like, you know, every kid in his own way, and each mitzvah in its own way. So, without getting into that, the Gemara in Erevin seems to assume it's the year 4 or 5. But, again, we'll leave it be for now. And it's clear, though, that if she has seven children, it makes a lot of sense that at least one of them won't need their mother anymore. At which point, he'd be chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah. At which point, he'd have a chiyuv to sit in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, and if you want to say that, no, this child's only chayv on a derabanan level. And she just didn't care about the derabanan. She wasn't so religious. So then, tashmav, od kol masa lost LLB. Right, so then the Gemara goes and says, no, don't worry, everything she did was always in line with the words l'chem. Of course she would have upheld a din d'rabbanan. Fine, that's the bright. The Gemara is now going to turn to explain how this is a question of zero. Let's pause for a moment. Just an interesting historical note. You guys are wondering who Hilani Hamalka was. So, it happens to be that Rashi in Bava Basra, on Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, there's a fascinating story there about how Munvaz HaMelech, right, this king Munvaz, when like took all of his family's treasuries, all their amassed wealth, and started being Mevazbez. He would go and just donate it all to Tzedakah. He was supporting all the poor people in the years of famine. And like his advisor, like, what are you doing? One of the people are like, what are you doing with all this money? So he says, no, my father's all collected for themselves. Now I'm collecting. Sorry, they thought they were collecting for themselves. I'm really collecting for myself. I'm really collecting for Olam Haba, etc. Beautiful, nice exegesis over there. Okay, so that's what Munvaz HaMelech says. Rashi there comments. Who's Munvaz HaMelech? So he was the son of Hilani HaMalka. And Mizera Hachash Munayim. Okay, so we're dealing with the second Beis Hamikdash era. And he was one of the kings in the Asmonean dynasty, right? From the Chashmonaim, the famous Kohanim who went and fought against Syrian Greeks in time of Hanukkah. Okay, great. That's what Rashi there says in Bava Basra. Problem is, historically, really very strange Rashi. That's not who Hilani HaMalka was, nor was that Munvaz HaMelech. Right? There's a lot of sources, a lot of Rishon HaMal assume Munvaz was Hilani's son. The problem is that what it seems to be that accurate, so without trying to figure out something about Rashi saying that maybe he somehow married into Zerah Hashmonov, but the way the other Rishonim are just a simple shot in history is that actually similar to the Khazar kingdom in the days of the Gaonim, right, which Rav Yehuda HaLevi wrote his Sefer Kuzari about, back in the day, people were all converting to Judaism because they realized that pagan society was nothing, meaningless. And a lot of people were converting to Judaism in the day. Eventually, after the Romans destroyed them, and it was really bad to be Jews, so everyone decided, you know what, let's go with Judaism light, which was Christianity. But Lemaisa, before that happened, there were a lot of people that were converting to Judaism, and that included some wealthy queen in Syria who thought Judaism made the most sense. And she converted, and her family converted, and she raised good from Jewish people. I don't know what happened to their little society. Everybody converted in their town. Maybe I think eventually they moved to Jerusalem, in fact. Whatever. The point is that, like, they weren't actually Mizrach Hashmonaim, so that's just an interesting point. Who was Hilani? Who's Munvaz? Rashi says Hashmonaim, but Pashas is that they weren't from the Hashmonaim. They were Gerim, who were great people. Now, in terms of this story, there should be a few things that strike us as odd. Okay, number one, let's talk about this first, from this class. Is a woman really chayv in chinuch? Better yet, is a kid even chayv in chinuch? Right, who's the mitzvah of chinuch on? Without getting into much broader chakir, which I don't want to focus too much on, so I will reference it again later on, but just, who's the mitzvah of chinuch on? Is it really a mitzvah on the child himself? Even though, according to Torah law, he's not chayiv in mitzvos, but on a derabanan level, he's chayiv to perform mitzvos, which would be strange, considering he's not really a bar das, he's not really capable of having responsibility, which is why we think he's pater on a Torah level. Is that the way to look at it? Or is it that somebody else is chayiv to be mechanechim, which is the more simple explanation? So now, in fact, the Gemara Nazir, on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis, onto Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, tells us something which seems to be pretty straightforward. It says that the father is chayiv to be chanech his child, but a mother is not. At which point this Gemara seems to pose a problem. Kibager already is alluding to this in Gilead Hashas. The problem is, how come the Gemara is assuming that she would have done the mitzvah of chinuch? Oh, and they're only chayiv on derabanan level, but then where she kept the mitzvah of derabanan? But she's not chayiv on a derabanan level. Only the father is chayiv to be mechanech his child on a derabanan level. So, simply put, look at this Gemara. Why don't you be confused? In what sense was Pliny Amalka chayiv in the chinuch? Right? So let's look at Rashi for a moment. So Rashi says, midrabanan, right? The last Rashi on the Amud, Rashi explains that you're chayiv in chinuch, to be mechanech your child, let's say, midrabanan. So Rashi explains, she says, kiku lehargil as a katam lemitzvah shehu roi la k'dei shihei mechunach beragel mitzvah. So Rashi says, what's the reason why we have this? First of all, that's another chakir in chinuch, which we're not going to get into right now, but about, like, what's exactly the purpose of chinuch? Why did Hazal make a chiyuv? So that way, like, when he gets older, he'll know how to do it, right? Is that the idea? Or is it like, well, the stakes along those same lines? So Rashi here is pretty clear. He said that the idea of being a chinuch a child is so that way, you know, he'll be used to doing a chinuch. That's even what the idea of chinuch is. A chinuch isn't only used in this context, it's used in a lot of contexts. Like Ohanan learning to apprentice and train for the job to serve in the basic. So over here, Rashi sounds a little bit interesting. He says, Shehiz kiku lahar gil as a katan. So who's Shehiz kiku? That they made him chayiv, right? That they required him to be to have the katan be to get the katan used to doing mitzvah. So who is the he? Shehiz kiku. Who? Who is that? Doesn't sound like Rashi talking about Hilni Amalka, right? That they made him chayiv to do it. So who is the he? Not so clear. Okay, and especially in light of the Gemara and Nazir, which I already alluded to, it seems like the mother is not chayiv. Okay, in chinuch. So I saw lots of different answers in Rishonim here. I'll tell you five, very briefly, how to deal with the fact that Hilani is a woman. She's the mother of the child, and therefore she's not chayiv in chinuch, according to the Gemara and Nazir. So why does our Gemara assume that she's chayiv in chinuch, or that she would have fulfilled the mitzvah of chinuch, right? That's the question. So how can we address that? So one general mahalach is to assume in a chinuch, she's not chayiv. Really, take that Gemara Nazir seriously. So she's not chayiv in chinuch. Okay, so what was she doing in our Gemara? How are we supposed to understand this? So Tosfos Yeshanan in Yoma on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and that's what Akiva Eger's Mitzayin to here in the Gilgal Shas, says a few different options. Okay, so number one, he says, he's not exactly saying it this way, but I'll use him to say it this way. One answer could be that she's not chayiv. You're right, that's true. But based in his chayiv, in lieu of a father, let's say, maybe that's true, or even if there is a father, maybe based in also chayiv, but certainly in lieu of a father, based in might have the obligation to be mechanech this young Jewish child in mitzvot. And that would also be maybe what Rashi's referring to
only
here,
when
too.
The husband's
not maybe, alive. Or maybe not. I don't want to commit myself. Whether the husband is there or not. Right? The Gemara in Nazir sounds like the father is the one who's chayav, as opposed to the woman. But like, I don't know if that means, and also, Basin just is in lieu of the father, so I don't want to commit myself to that. Right? But what we could say over here is that Basin was chayav, and in fact, that would make sense. That's what the Zakanim should have objected to over here. Right? That would be what would be going on in our Gemara, that Basin's really chayav. And when Rashi says that there's always chayav midrabanan, that it's on him, meaning like on them, on based and on the men there, that they're chayav to be margil the katan, and not that she herself was chayav. So that would be one way to make sense of the fact that Hillel ostensibly was putter herself, and yet the Gemara assumes that she would have done it. The reason why that's not such a good answer, and I mean, Tosafot Shishanim again isn't really answering this question, he just says this, I'm suggesting that to answer it, but Tosafot Shishanim, the reason why that's not such a good answer is the Gemara doesn't really talk about it in terms of the Rabbanan's chiyuv, it's saying her chiyuv, right? Or the kid's own chiyuv, right? She would have listened to the Rabbanan. She would have made sure that the kid fulfilled his obligation. So it's a little bit awkward. The other two answers that are brought in the Tosafot Shishanim that we can use for this, still within the same general track of Inachanam, she's really not chiyuv. Take that Gemara seriously. So one answer, and this is found also in the Shita Mekubetes there, I think, according to the Rosh Hashanah. So, the other option you could go with, and one other option, is that maybe the father was there. Who said the father's not there? So, at which point the father was chayav, and we can stick with the fact that indeed a mother was not chayav, but the father was, and the father was there, and that's what we were talking about. Again, it's a little bit awkward in the Gemara. I think Ricky Baker also attacks. That's terrible. I don't know the words in the Gemara at all, right? Because Lamaisa, it sounds like she was the one that would have been chayav. Right, that she's the one that you could say she was the one that was in charge, right? After all, the reason why we're not I'm mentioning the father is because like she was the queen. She was the one that might have been the authority figure. The husband could have been just the husband of the queen. I read an article not too long ago about somebody, one of the queen kings in like I don't know, Belgium or somewhere, who was like not really the king himself. He's married the queen and he's like suing the government because he felt he wasn't getting enough authority. You know, he wasn't getting enough honor because sometimes you know he's the husband of the queen. The queen's the one who's the real authority figure. That's why he's not mentioned here. And really, she would have been the one in control. But again, it's not really what the Gemara sounds like. So one option is that Basin was the one that's really inside here. The second answer is that the father was here, and then the weakness here is that like the father's not seemingly the subject.
Who said it?
So who said it? It's one of the ones who told the Shana today. And Yom also on Pei Beis Omen Aleph. And also in Sheet of Kabbatis there. It does here. Fine. And a third answer, and this one's perhaps the weakest of them all, is yeah, she was just doing it for Alma. You're right, Elchanam, she's not Chayav. But she knew that if she was a man, or like, you know, that the Rabbanan were mitaking the idea of Chinuch with a reasoning behind it, and even though they didn't place it on the mother, but she liked to impress the Rabbanan. Maybe that fits well with the Gemara over here a little bit. Right? But I mean, it fits a little bit well with this Gemara in terms of like, oh, and like she cared about the fact of what the Rabbanan said. But still, come on. It's not really that she's Chayav and Chinuch. So that other answer, to Shanim also, is the idea is like, just she did it for Alma. She just did it stum. Right? She just did it for the sake of doing it because, you know, maybe the rabbis would be happy if she did it. That's really not what the Gemara sounds like either. So perhaps we should change our gears and instead say, no, it's not that she was actually not chayav, as that Gemara and others says. Let's go the other way around. Say, really, a mother is also chayav in Philip. Really, a mother is also chayav in Philip. What about that Gemara Nazir then? What are we going to do with that? So actually, if you look at the Gemara Nazir, I'm just referring to it, but the Gemara Nazir doesn't quite say that. It says it within Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan argues there, they're talking about the fact that the father has the ability to be to make a neder for his son to be a nazir, or even while the child's just a child, but a mother does not. So the Gemara wants to know why that is true, right? And they each have their own reasons. Rabbi Yochanan basically says, this is just the rules. These are the rules by nazir. And Reish Lakish says, oh, because the father's chayav in chinuch, and a mother's not chayav in chinuch. So there's a lot more to say on that machlokes in the Gemara itself carries on further, and there's a lot of attention about Rishonim. But simply put, one could say like this, Rav Avraham Min Ahar says this answer. And he says that really, the Gemara was only saying that the mother is not chayav in chinuch according to Reish Lakish. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, indeed, a mother is chayav. And who do we posit? We posit Rabbi Yochanan over Reish Lakish. And therefore, in fact, a mother is also chayav in chinuch, at which point our Gemara with Eliana Hamavka makes perfect sense. She was also chayav in chinuch, at least in the Rabbanan, just as much as a father is. So that's the answer of Rav Avraham Min Ahar there on in Nazir. One could have obviously read the Gemara differently, as all the other Rishonim would have. The Gemara might have raised that point within Reish Lakish, But that still could be true to Rabbi Yochanan, right? Like, you could absolutely say that Rabbi Yochanan also thinks that only the father survived. He just thinks the reason why this halacha is true, that a father can make his son be a nazir, but a mother can't, it's just, that's for separate reasons, these are the rules by nazir. Called Sinai or something like that, a drasha, that these are just the rules by nazir. But Rabbi Yochanan might also agree to that idea that a mother is not chayav tanah. So that's definitely fair to say, but Rabbi Yochanan does not read it that way. So as an answer to our question, a fourth answer, so what's pshat? She's not chayav and chinuch. Answer is no, she is. Maybe Reish Lakish thinks she's not chayav and chinuch, but a mother is chayav and chinuch, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Avraham Minahar. And a final answer is brought, started the Torah Shonim, by, and as I found Rabbi Avraham Minahar from there as well, and Rabbeinu Peretz HaKohen, and in Nazir there as well. And he says the following. He says, no, even according to Reish Lakish, the Gemara didn't mean that she's not chayav in chinuch. She is also chayav and chinuch, even though that Gemara sounds really much like a mother who doesn't have the mitzvah of chinuch, only the father does. Nonetheless, according to Reish Lakish, what it really means, so you can even make it work to Reish Lakish, that's the advantage of this job, that's the rabbi here, that's not just Rabbi Yochanan, it's even to Reish Lakish, is that the downside, obviously, is that it doesn't fit well with the words, and that's that it just meant that it's unlikely that a mother is going to go and make her son into another, but now that she can't. Not that she can't, that's a huge knock between Shlokesh and Ryokanah, right? But now that she can't, she likely won't do that. Because then she'll have to bring a carbon in or whatever, it's a big deal for her, so she's not going to do it. An interesting answer, that's for being a parent of Cohen. There are five different answers to this question. I want to leave it as a question, though. Right? None of the ones that I just said are so satisfying. So what's pshat? I want you to remember question number one. What's the deal? Lenny Amalka's chayav and chinuch. Is she not chayav? So like, what's going on here? We're in a tizzy about the fact, like, is a woman chayav and chinuch? So maybe yes, maybe no. We can try to figure it out. But ultimately, I want to leave it as a question for now. Not ultimately. But for now, let's leave it as a question. Let's get to another important machlokas rishonim. This one's very famous. When you do chinuch, when you're being a chinuch your child, okay, to do mitzvahs, do you have to do it in the right way? Think about it. Now, so you tell me. You've got a son, Amir Tashem, and 20 years from now, this son of yours is your, I don't know, one of your little kids, and you've got this little boy, and you want to teach him how to shake the lulav. However, you know Sukkah Kol, so that's what you're learning this year, and you remember 20 years from now too, Amir Tashem, and what's going to happen? You're going to want to go and you're going to have your kid shake the lulav. But you know the Gemara tells us that you have to be careful in the Yom Rishon. You don't want to give your kid the lulav because then the kid doesn't have the capacity to give back to you and you need to be shalachem on the first day. It has to be lachem, mishalachem for lulav and arba minim on the first day. And therefore, you don't want to actually give it to your kid. What are you going to do? You'll call over your little, 6-year-old, 7-year-old and you're going to hold the lulav with him. But you don't let go because you don't want to let go and let him take it.
What's the issue? Are you acquiring it?
Yeah, you don't want him to acquire. Exactly. So, okay, fine.
He can give it back.
Right, but maybe he's not able to give it back.
He can acquire it.
That's the Gemara. No, the Gemara. That's... I don't want to get into the sugya right now. Okay, simply put, we're afraid of him acquiring it. No, you're right. You're right. No, Amir Tashem, we will get there in a matter of weeks. But, we're not there yet. I just want to mention it briefly. There's a famous Machlokas Rishonim here.
How do you know if you can tell new one? Did you ever see him in the bathroom?
You hold on to it. You don't want to let the kid let go of it, okay? Because you want to make sure that you're still going to maintain ownership. So in that case, is he yotzei the mitzvah? Yes or no? Yes or no? So you haven't really done chinuch right, though. Think about it. When he is a bar mitzvah boy, is he going to be able to do it this way? No, he'd have the same obligation of shalachem. He also needs it to be his. So if you haven't given it to him, has he fulfilled the mitzvah? Well, he sort of has shaken a lulav, but if he were a bar mitzvah boy, he wouldn't have fulfilled a mitzvah. He's using a she'ula lulav, right? He's a lulav she'ula. So what's pshat? So indeed, the Mordechai in our Masechta, I think it's Tufshin Nun Tes, I write it down. Tufshin Nun Tes. So the Mordechai says the following. The Mordechai says that indeed, he quotes the Ravan, Reish Aleph Vav Nun, Rabban, one of the great Rishonim, who said that indeed he was the Avi Ezri and Avi Esef, he was the grandfather of the Rabbi. Anyhow, he's only half my Ashkenaz. Pshat is that you are allowed to, totally fine, because seemingly everybody understands from this that you don't have to mechanach a child in the exact proper way, right? Why would I have to do that? Okay, do it in a way that's good enough. Okay, make it clear enough. However, other Rishonim disagree. Certainly other Acharonim disagree. That Magen Avraham attacks this vehemently. Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion about it as well. Igros Moshe has a whole discussion about it. And the Ritva in our sugya, and he's the only one who I saw who did this, the Ritva on Beis and Beis, in our sugya, brings our Gemara as a raya. How so? Because here we're dealing with the mitzvah of chinuch on Beis and Beis, and the Ritva makes a diyuk. He says, from here we learn that you have to do it right. Because otherwise, what would they have been asking? Yeah, she was sort of doing chinuch. You know, she was in a box. It had some leaves on top. It was a sukkah. No, it had to be done right. It had to be done kehokhasa, a raya against the Mordechai and the Ravan. You hear the Ritva's point? The Ritva has a diyuk from our Gemara that you have to, when you do the mitzvah of chinuch, you have to do it right. And it sounds like a very strong diyuk. I didn't see the Acharon, the postgame, you know, the Magen Ram or whatever, discussing this, but I think it's a very good raya that the Ritva has. And now we've got a Rishon on that side clearly before it, saying you have to do it. And the Ritva says, I've seen people make this mistake before and they're wrong, so I want to clarify it. So the Ritva makes this good diyuk from our Gemara. Question number two. What? The Mordechai didn't know our Gemara. Ravan didn't know our Gemara. How do you get around this deal? How do you get around this deal? So I saw a bunch of answers in the Achronim, actually. I checked just a few minutes ago now to see what I could find, but I have my own answer. We'll get there in a minute. But I'll just tell you very briefly. So, Ruben Grzenski has an answer that he hangs it on the famous Sahira, whether it's a mitzvah on the father to do it, or is it a mitzvah on the kid himself to do it. That's what I alluded to beforehand, right? That if you say it's a mitzvah on the father to do it, so then you don't have to do it exactly right. You can just, like, sort of, like, you know, just do it generally, okay. And if it's on the kid himself, though, if it's on the kid himself, then you would obviously have to do it absolutely right, because the whole idea is that the kid has to do it as a mitzvah. And that's how he explains this machlokes. So could you use... That's how he explains machlokes between the Ravan and Mordechai on one hand, and the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham claims it's a rush as well, on the other hand. So he explains it based off of, like, who it's on. However, that doesn't really work to use that distinction within the Ritva, because the Ritva says on Chaf Chasim Beis that it's on the father. It's a mitzvah on the father, not on the son. Okay, the Ritva, Chiyushi Ruben, one of the so. Anyhow, though, I'm just noting that it doesn't really work well because according to the Ritva is the one who makes this diyuk. So the Ritva is clearly not on the Mordechai side, and yet the Ritva also holds that it's a mitzvah on the father to do it. Okay, so that clearly the Ritva holds you have to do it absolutely right, and the Ritva also holds it's a mitzvah on the father. So I don't really think that this could be shot at this machlokas. Okay, so that's just one thing. Another way to maybe answer this, I saw some Achronim say that it's a difference between a Chepz and a Gavra. No, by a Lulav is different than a Sukkah. In a Lulav, it's just the Gavra is not doing it correctly, right? The Lulav, you're not shaking the Lulav correctly. That's different. When the Chepz itself is Pasul, like that, you have to do it correctly. And even the Mordechai and the Ravan would agree that you have to do the mitzvah Chepz itself, right? You don't take a lemon instead of an Esrog, you take an Esrog, right? So, I saw that as well. Okay, it could be. It could be. That's another answer. But I want to leave it as a question also, okay? So another question we have to deal with is, how would the Mordechai, how would the Ravan defend themselves? If they really hold you don't have to do the mitzvah absolutely correctly, absolutely properly, then what's pshat with the diyuk from our Gemara? It sounds like Hilani Amalka was only doing it, and the Gemara has a whole point from the fact that she was absolutely doing it absolutely correctly. Okay, so that's another question. A third question. The Mishnah later on. Shammai had this crazy sheet. The Mishnah on Chav Ches Omed Aleph tells us the following. Says that katan she'enu tzarech l'imo chai b'sukkah, a kid that doesn't need his mother, that's what we were just basing our Gemara off of, a katan who doesn't need his mother anymore is chai b'sukkah. Maisa v'yolda kalos osho Shammai azok, and Shammai's daughter-in-law had a baby, u'pichet ez ha'maziva v'sichich al gabi amita b'shvil katan, and he went and he opened up the roof and he made a sukkah over there over the baby, so that way the baby could be sitting in the sukkah. The Gemara asks, what, this is a Maisa Listor, right, where we have a contradiction. The first Mishnah says that you're not chayv when you need your mother. Then the Mishnah sounds like you are chayv when you need the mother. So the Gemara concludes, no, on Chav Chasim Beis, that Shammai would just be machmir, or maybe not be machmir. The language is interesting, they're trying to make a diyuk. I'm running out of time, so I don't want to focus too much on this right now. But what I want to note is that Shammai had some shita that this kid was chayv in Sukkah, or at least that the parents were chayv in the mitzvah of Chinuch. So there's different ways to understand this. Some, the Rimi O'Neill, for example, in this Mishnah, thinks that it's that the kid was chayv in chinuch, right? That the father had a chayv in chinuch. But the question we should be asking ourselves then is, what mitzvah of chinuch is there here? This kid doesn't know anything. And Rashi in Yevamos, so the kid himself is chayiv, not that the father is chayiv, but the kid himself is chayiv. Rashi in Yevamos on Tezbavim and Aleph says that, and where this mission is quoted. And the Rambam Perush Mishnayos here also sounds like the kid himself is chayiv, according to Mishnah. You're really absolutely chayiv, not just the chumra, but you're really chayiv to have a baby child do the mitzvah of chinuch already to sit in the sukkah at this point, which is astounding. What could you possibly be getting from that? And the Achronim all trying to figure out different things here. It's really, really not so clear. Now, the Ritva, the Ra'ah, have a different approach, and they say that the reason why the kid would be chayiv is from Teshuvah Ka'in Deduru. That the same way you would live in your house with your family, with your children, so too, Shammai was machmir on himself to have his children with him. So that's why he would go and do this. I had a question on that, though. Like, Shammai was living there with him. Right, Shammai wasn't living inside there. Shammai opened up over his cradle, this little thing. So what was really pshat? But that's how the Ritva and the Ra understand. And there's more to say about it, but again, I'm running out of time. What I want to note is this strange shita of Shammai. Shammai had the kid sit in a sukkah when he was a day old. Chinuch? Maybe, okay, fine, but like, what's pshat? Like, and obviously, the Chum did not agree to this, and we have to also understand why they didn't agree. Like, on what aspect of it did they not agree with? So there's a lot of ways to cut that as well. But whatever Shammai holds, they disagree for some reason. So a third question I want to raise is, what's shot with Shammai over here? Two more very quick points, and then we'll conclude. The Gemara here, if you look at our Mishnah, said something very strange. The Mishnah has the following language. The Mishnah says, Mishnah Mavadim Ketanim Turim Nesukah. But a katan she ain't tzarich limo chayiv sukkah. So, there's a katan's potter, then says a katan's chayiv when he doesn't need his mother. And then the Gemara brings a brice. The Gemara brings a brice and says minani milu. Shonar about it. Ezrach ze ezrach ha ezrach lahotzias nashim. So now we know that women are excluded from the mitzvah sukkah. Kol, the word kol, the rabus es hakatanim. The Gemara includes off of a drasha and a pasuk that katanim are chayiv. So turn over to Chav Chesma Beis. The Gemara then says, okay, so what's going on here? The Gemara says, first it asks, it says, there's a steer between our Brisa and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that your Ketanim are potter, and the Brisa says that Ketanim are chayiv. So then the Gemara clarifies and says, no, it depends how old the Ketan is. And then the Gemara says, wait a second, how could it be that a Ketan is included from the word kol, that he's chayiv, when clearly a katan is only chayiv midrabanan from the mitzvah of chinuch? So why would you bring the pasuk of kol when the chiyuv for a katan that's reached the age of chinuch is only midrabanan? So the Gemara answers and says, you're right, it's only an asmachta ba'alma. Okay, the question is, there's an asmachta. So here are the two points I want to make. First of all, the Brisa and the Mishnah really sound like there's a chiyuv on a kid to sit in the sukkah here. And even though the Gemara ends up saying that there's not, it still says there's an asmachta. The Gemara still says there's an asmachta. Last year we talked a little bit about asmachtas, but he's according to some, asmachtas aren't merely the modern prices. According to the Rambam it is. But according to the Ritva we saw, this is much deeper than that, right? There's something hidden within the text of the Torah. When we say an asmachta means that, indeed, on some level, this is really true, and it's only a Darabanan concept here. But what I want to note then from our Gemara is that there's actually an asmachta for the chinuch of a katan by sukkah. The word kol comes to include katanin. Okay, so now it doesn't actually, but that's what the Bryce says, it doesn't actually, it's only an asmachtama. But what's pshat with this? How come uniquely by sukkah we have, this mitzvah of chinuch? What's going on? To wrap up, I want to suggest the following idea. Why was Hilani chayiv in being mechanech her children in sukkah? She's a woman. Women aren't chayiv in chinuch. Number two, how would the Mordechai understand the fact that by sukkah it seems like we have to have her go? How would we understand the idea that the Gemara on Beis Mabez actually implies that you are maybe required to actually do the mitzvah kind of correctly here, even though the Mordechai holds you don't need to by lulav, but by sukkah you do? Thirdly, What's the deal with Shammai? Why does Shammai think that like you're at Chayiv to put a kid in the sukkah at such a young age? That isn't really even relevant, you know? And in fact, if he does it, now why does he argue for whatever reason he has? And finally, what's the deal with the language of the Mishnah, the language of the Brisa, and then Asmachta? What's pshat, guys? What's pshat? You hear the questions? Why is there an Asmachta? What's pshat? Is there anything crazy? So I'd like to say a totally different answer, which can answer all of these. Say the following idea. And that is that there's a unique mitzvah of chinuch by sukkah, which is not found by any other mitzvah. And it's not the standard mitzvah of chinuch. This is something much deeper. You can explain this in a couple of different ways. You can either try to understand it as using the idea of teishvu ka'ein tiduru, and then saying, since we want you to have your kid out there with you anyhow, so now we're going to basically set the chiyuv of chinuch at a different age or in a different fashion than we normally would have. Because really, we want the father to bring his kid out there. Like he's supposed to ideally live in this way during the sukkah. We want his kid to be in the sukkah with him. So we'll make him chayiv in chinuch already at this age. And in fact, we won't limit to the father, then we'll limit it even. We'll say anybody's chayiv, you know, the mother is chayiv to put the kid in the sukkah, although that doesn't really work so well, because why would she be chayiv? And maybe you could say that that would explain why Shammai wanted to go and do it, but then again, why does the Chumran argue? This shah would be tricky. So I don't really want to say it's just a conversion of the idea of Teishmu Kain to Duru on one hand with the regular mitzvah of chinuch. You could try to say that. But instead, I'd rather say something different. I'd rather say it has to do somehow with the unique nature of the mitzvah of sukkah. And that is the following. It has two unique components. Number one, it's experiential. It's a mitzvah which you can experience. Like hakel. Why are you chayv to bring your children to hakel? The Ramban on the Torah has two different pshatim. Right? One is because just the what Chazal say, to bring sire for their to those that bring them. And the other one is because these kids were actually on some level of chinuch. But even so, they were still on a lower level of chinuch than regular. And the idea in that would be that because it would make an impact on them. You bring your little kid to Disneyland, he remembers it. You bring your kid to the entire Jewish people gathering together, even though it's a pain in the neck. You bring them there, they'll remember, it'll leave a lasting impression. Yerushalayim will be imbued within them from at such a young age already because it's experiential, that even somebody who doesn't have any das can experience it, remember it, and make a mark on them. Where else do we find that? See, Brayat Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Same sort of idea. We want the little ones involved. Why? They don't necessarily understand what's going on. We want to make it exciting. We want them to remember this mitzvah. We want it to be a special occurrence because it's experiential and it will leave an impact. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that sukkah, which not only is it very easy to do, right? You don't have to be that that smart to sit in the sukkah. You don't have to do all that much to eat regularly to do it in the sukkah, right? So you can even have it at a young age. But I think the idea would be is that this is actually having a value to somebody who's so young because it's experiential and you can actually gain something from it. And a second point, and this one is the more critical one, is perhaps the very essence of the mitzvah of sukkah is to pass it on to the next generation. L'man yedu dorosichem. Ke'ein sipur yitzis mitzrayim. The whole idea of sukkah is to pass on the knowledge of the miracles which Hashem worked for us years ago and in these very days to take care of us at all times, just like sipur yitzis mitzrayim. And in the way that we can therefore have this mitzvah now of chinuch is going to be totally different than any other mitzvah. We'll set it on the family. Everyone is chayiv to be mechanech these children. Because here, it's no different men and women. It's not about, oh, the father has to make sure that his kid, when he grows up, will be able to do the mitzvah. This is imbuing the child with his Jewish identity in a different way than any other mitzvah. And it's so simple to do. And therefore, even a mother is chayiv to do it. It explains why the Mordechai would say, even though by other mitzvahs, let's say by shaking lulav, that's not so important. You don't have to do every detail correctly. Because you know when he gets older, he'll figure it out, make sure to do it correctly, or whatever exactly the reason is. You don't have to worry about it. But by sukkah, we're of course assuming that you have to do it the right way, because here, in a different sense, it's not the regular mitzvah of chinuch. You're actually chayiv to have your kid sitting in a sukkah with you. You need them to do the mitzvah proper. It's not just about, like, you know, so that way when he's older, he'll be able to sit in the sukkah. It's for right now we want him in the sukkah. Right now we want him in the sukkah. Shammai, similarly, took it to the next level. Shammai said, even a one-day-old. Now, that's insane. Right? Even a one-day-old is going to gain this experience. Even this young kid, you know, the Marshall, I think, and almost, you know, almost says, yeah, he was actually 5 years old, but it's not child. That's not what it sounds like, right? That's not really what it sounds like. But even right after she gave birth, right, he went and he had a little thing over the cradle. He had a sukkah because Shammai wanted the kid to be in the sukkah already now. He wanted to have the kid fulfilled it. And he was machmir on this mitzvah of chinuch because this isn't the regular mitzvah of chinuch. Why is it only here that Shammai is machmir? Why don't we see Shammai be machmir by talus? Why don't we see Shammai be machmir by lula? Why don't we see Shammai be machmir by fasting on Yom Kippur? You don't see any of that. Actually, by Yom Kippur, by Yom Kippur. We'll leave that alone. But in general, Shammai is machmir uniquely here. Why is Shammai uniquely here? Because this mitzvah is unique. The mitzvah is as well as the chiyuv of chinuch. And why does the Chacham argue? So there's a lot of ways you can cut why they argue. But I don't think they argue in this principle. I'd say they agree to this principle because it answers their questions as well. Really, they agree to this in principle. They just think that, come on, it's a one-day-old. What's that going to do? So once the kid's old enough that he no longer needs the mother, so then he's chayav. Then we're chayav to have him sit in the sukkah. But then again, he needs to be in the real mitzvah sukkah, and even the mother's chayav in the sukkah. And finally, this pasuk has an asmachta. Everyone, kol ha'ezra, every last person is chayav. Okay, the Gemara says it's not actually a chayav deraisa. Why did the Gemara think that was wrong? Pnei Yeshua asked the question. Why did the Gemara think that was wrong? Maybe indeed a cousin is chayav. Okay, so clearly the cousin's not chayav. The Gemara is assuming the cousin's not chayav. That's because maybe a kid can't have chiyuvim. The one who's really chayav is always going to be the father, the parents who are chayav to have the kid. But maybe the asmacht is driving at something deeper. Everyone get involved. Every last person should come into the mitzvah. Okay, women are excluded because the mitzvah is among grandma, the basuk excludes them. They're not considered ezra, but at least every male, every child, every kid, no matter how young, or at least old enough that he's able to at least be able to be separated from his mother, if you want to go not like Shammai. The idea is that he is actually chayav here, maybe not midoraisa, but is a derabanan of chinuch, which is different than every other derabanan of chinuch. None of those other ones you find an asmachta for. Uniquely by sukkah, do we have an asmachta by this chinuch mitzvah. And therefore, I think that, to summarize everything, the idea of sukkah is very different than any other mitzvah. And therefore, it, with its special requirement of passing on our mesorah, remembering, l'man yidu dor Yosefah, that Bnei Yisrael had Hashem guiding them the days when he took us out of Mitzrayim, and then when he guided us through the Midbar, and he guides us through all of our history, that unique, unique mitzvah, which sukkah represents, which pretty much anybody can do as long as you just sit and eat there, and so even a child will be chayav. So, Chachamim came along and said, even though we generally have a mitzvah of chinuch anyhow, which would have had its regular rules, here we're going to up the ante. We're going to make it even more intense. We're going to insist that this happen in this situation, maybe even at an earlier age, maybe even people that generally aren't chayav in the mitzvah of chinuch, maybe even in a different fashion than we generally do it, because this mitzvah is so, so important and uniquely so. All right, guys, that is my suggestion to explain all these questions.